speaks with veteran writer Kurt Busiek and up-and-coming artist Benjamin Dewey, who are two of the most prolific talents in Portland's comic scene. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support for community radio. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
And now it's time for KBOO News from the Boo with
Mike
and
Monica Beamer.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is Mike Crenshaw, co-manager of KBOO.fm, KBOO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. This is News from the Boo, and I want to say thank you to all the people that came out, had a really good time at the Waterfront Blues Festival. Great music, good people, good vibe. Thanks to the Oregon Food Bank and everybody over there that helped make that a successful event. And of course, all the artists that rocked, that really got down. And I wanna take a moment today on News from the Boo and introduce some of you who don't know, introduce you to an artist that's a phenomenal MC, somebody I met here in Portland, who's from Portland, who's lived here for years, but who's also from the East Coast and is in New York doing his thing, and that is Luck One. Work with Luck One over the years on many different projects involving hip hop, and I'm proud to see him do his thing on a national stage. When he was recently in town touring with Slum Village, he stopped by KBOO and we did an interview. So I would like to share that interview with you guys today, since it's part of the KBOO community and part of our hip hop community, which I'm proud of and a member of. And then after the interview, we're gonna listen to a little bit of music, so you get a chance to not only listen to the intellect of this young man, but also appreciate his art.
Look, man.
So I'm chilling here today with my man Luck One, the real Hanif.
The real Hanif.
In the building. It's good to see you, bro. It's been a minute.
Good to see you too, fam, for sure.
Yeah, so how long have you been outside of Portland?
I moved to Harlem about, I want to say December of 2013. So okay. Now about almost a year and a half.
Did you see David Parks when you're out there?
Yeah, I do, actually. I see him all the time. Yeah, that's the homie. He be showing up, dropping little jewels of wisdom and vanishing into the ether.
He's that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So the mythology has always been that in order for Portland to really get the recognition that Portland deserved, the artists had to leave Portland to do that. So how would you what do you have to say about that?
First I have to say, let me turn my phone off.
Okay.
Do the same. I think that, I don't know, man. I mean, they asked me a similar question to that in the Willamette Week, like last week, and they were like, maybe actually 2 weeks ago when we had the interview. And they were like, you know, what do you have to say to other MCs? I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? I really, David Parks, or actually, it's interesting you brought him up. He gave me some good advice that I've been trying to apply. It's just like, we're talking about rappers and people not having their stuff together. And he said, you know, so you got to make sure you're focused. And he's like, or not focus, or don't work hard, and just put it out, because that's what you did when you first started rapping and people responded. Sometimes you're overthinking it, sometimes you're getting in your own way, you know what I'm saying? So like with this tour, I've been like definitely trying to use a blending of that and like trying to get the most out of it, but just trying not to overthink it, you know what I'm saying? Like just get out here, put the word out, you know what I'm saying? Sell CDs, same thing with all the music as of late, just like see what happens. I mean, the best PR is good music, you know. I realized living in New York that a lot of these dudes that are on are not like musically music business savvy at all. They're just making music and having fun, and somebody else is handling it.
Having fun is important. So what I hear you saying is something that, you know, I've been having this conversation being an independent artist for years, and it seems to keep coming up. There really is no formula.
Right.
You know, people can tell you a formula, but it doesn't mean it's going to work for you.
Right.
So to the having fun part, are you having as much fun as you want to have right now?
I'm not having all the fun I want to have.
Okay.
But I'm having a lot more fun than I was having. You know, like, I don't think I've had this much fun with it. Probably artistically, I guess maybe not as much, but rap life wise, you know what I'm saying? Like rap business, rap, like rapper wise, I'm having more fun. Like I'm doing more fun things with rap. Okay. Artistically, I'm ready to let that speak in the music more. I'm ready to like really go in the studio now when I get back to New York and really just do have a whole bunch of fun with the music. Because it's how where my life's at. But like as far as life wise, I'm having the most fun.
So what are some of your highest aspirations in regard to what you want to accomplish with your music?
Man, I guess I want to bring a new dialogue into the like hip hop genre. That's one thing that I really would like to do. I would like to reintroduce, like redefine the idea of classic, redefine the conversation around the word real. You know, redefine the aesthetic of just because it's weird and mainstream doesn't mean that it's dope or artistic. Just mm-hmm. because it's different and has $1 million budget doesn't mean that it's classic. There also has to be sound musical principles applied, which are not necessarily static, but you can tell them when you hear them. You know, mm-hmm. I want to change the dialogue. I want to introduce dialogues about the fiction of race into the hip hop music that deals with that. You know, instead of talking about the same barbershop conversations we've been having since the 19 whatevers, to really start talking about things like, you know, capital in a real way, not even in a responsible way necessarily, but in a real way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. like what it really is, what are we really doing? You know what I'm saying? What are we really making and losing and earning and living for? Mm-hmm. You know, and I definitely want to redefine real. You know, real not in the sense of I'll punch you if you talk about my mama, but real like, are you gonna wake up every single day and go to work and be a reputable dude for your kids and put on for your parents? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. what about that kind of real? Like, the real realness, the real that you wish everybody in your life had, the never break your word real, the standing by a principle and, like, not trying to be a follower real, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to, like, I sold a bunch of dope, like, mm-hmm. you know, which is, you know, it has its place, you know? People use dope. It's mm-hmm. a useful thing for some people, you know what I'm saying? I'm not here to judge anybody, but, you know, there's more to it than that. And all those conversations intersect. You know, capital, real, classic, mm-hmm. all those things intersect. I want them to intersect to my music. That's like my highest aspiration.
That's what's up, man. And I think that that is a reflection of the lives we actually lead, whether yeah. we want to or not. We're kind of born into circumstances that we have to figure out how to navigate. Truly. And in that regard, you know, we're looking at transitions that are taking place in the music industry. Okay, yeah. So where people are really starting to question if the dominant model even has opportunity for artists to really get on. And some of these artists that we see paraded in front of us a lot, if you really look at their salaries, they're not actually making more than a manager at right. a fast food restaurant. Right. So looking at artists as low wage workers.
Right.
In that regard, the need to, or there's a conversation happening nationally about the need, and really globally, really, about the need to for artists to organize, similar to how labor unions have organized. So I said a lot right there, and I don't want to hog the interview because I hate when hosts do that. But what I want to get to is kind of the intersection between our art and our music and the work that we have to do in the rest of our lives to not just be getting punked while we're trying to get paid, doing yeah. what we love.
Yeah.
Is that something you think about? And if it is, what are some of the things you do outside of rocking on the stage and recording in the studio that can lend to more stability, not just for you, but for artists who might be coming behind you?
Well, I mean, for me, I was fortunate enough to get a trade.
Okay.
You know, when I got out of prison, I had done a bunch of apprentice work in prison, and so I went and got my barber's license. And I always tell people that it's funny. I tell people rapping is my job. Mm. Barbering is my art.
Wow.
To be honest with you, rapping is my job. Rapping is what I have to do to get this demon out of me. It's like, it's not even about money in the sense. In the other sense, one is really the job, because the barbering is what makes me the bulwark of the money that I make. But as far as like, when people come to the barbershop and they want to talk about my rap career, I get so annoyed. Mm. I'm like, yo, don't mix my art with my job, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in here just cutting hair and and feeling myself and having great conversations, and this is what I do as like a form of therapy. So all that being said, it's kind of, I guess that's kind of a roundabout way of just saying this, you know, like what I learned, I turned 30 last year and I realized that your time is your currency. Mm. You can die in a house full of money, you can starve to death, you know what I'm saying? And that, you know, just like when I was locked up and all I had was a paper jumpsuit, some rubber sandals, and stories, that my life is a collection of stories. And the people who I found that were happiest at the point when I had nothing were those that had the dopest stories.
Wow.
So that's what I'm living for. And barbering is great for me because I get to spend my time, even when I'm making money and providing for my family in that way that we all have to, doing something that I love, which doesn't take away from my art. So whenever I come across the hardships and the stumbling blocks in music, you know, I still have a means of expression that's untouched by, like, I still have enough left to keep going.
Right.
Because I'm not having to go punch into some punk job and take somebody's orders. I'm just showing up wearing what I want, you know, listening to Jay Dilla or Young Jeezy or whatever I please, and getting paid handsomely to just have great conversations with people from all over the world.
That's what's up.
And having a trade is one of those things that's really allowed me to keep making music because, it, as you know, it can get hard sometimes, you know? And it's even harder when you've got responsibilities that you, other responsibilities that you don't want to deal with,
right,
to find time for responsibilities that you don't necessarily have to deal with. You know what I'm saying?
Real talk, man. Yeah. Always enjoy talking to you, man, because you're intelligent.
Likewise,
and you're passionate.
Bro.
And
thank you.
That's what we need. I mean, that's just as much a part of survival as being able to hustle.
Truly.
Or, you know, being able to fight.
Surely.
Or hunt gazelles or whatever. So that's it.
I don't know about hunting gazelles. That's
well,
pretty,
no,
that's
no,
a stable.
Got
a
life way different
death.
Right,
keep
there.
It in bed.
You gotta know how to hunt gazelles.
Yeah. You know, gotta eat. So the trip to Panama, I saw evidence of that, you know.
Yeah.
You went down there.
Yeah.
That's one of your ancestral homelands, right?
Well, yeah, it's weird because the Antillean community in Panama is comprised mostly of Jamaican immigrants, of whom my great-grandfather was one. His wife was the daughter of a Scottish plantation owner and an Arawak Indian woman. So it's strange because that means my great-great-grandfather was a Scottish plantation owner, and so that means I've met his ancestors in Scotland, you know, which is crazy if you think about that. And then I realized there's a whole side of my family, some of whom are in Panama, that are white. And so you start to really realize, like, nationalism is history for people that don't know their own history. And that's what Panama really taught me, was, like, the real melting pot, not this, like, oh, man, I work with a black guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or like, man, I don't think all white people are just racist, dog. Like, I'm talking about, like, people are just, like, you know, there's in Panama, the presidential palace is surrounded by squatter tenements. So you've never seen a contrast of rich and poor. I've never seen a contrast of rich and poor like this. No, the president.
Look at my life, waiting for death, trying to keep it at bay.
Stop.
I'll be ready when he show his face. Needless to say, I've been thinking about my flesh as an article of strife, and how scientists keep finding smaller particles of life. See, in 6 billion dreams, the planet that they sketched on revolves around the center point, which mirrors the electrons and atoms at their nucleus. So who's to say we are just a cell inside an organism floating in the cosmic dust? But if the spirit's just a myth and there ain't nothing after, well, if that comes to pass, I guess there's very little left. Terminated consciousness, or it's another chapter. A final resting place for real, or just another step. The biggest gamble ever, where nobody knows who wins. And since I ain't going back, I guess I'm going in hard like a runner with a pocket by the goal line. Only thing that's real is right now, Cuddy, it's showtime.
Why do these answers up just turn to questions?
All them answers I got just turned to questions. Like,
yeah.
Everybody got a purpose on this planet, if I'm right. Yet the smartest people I didn't come across was serving life. What's to be done, what they like? What's the base of wrong and right? What's the point of painting vistas if they still afraid of flight? What's this legacy in mind when you begin to ponder time itself? I resolved to dig deep, trying to find my wealth. Titles line the shelf. I studied every topic underneath the sun, only to find I had to find myself. To redefine before the body loses temperature. To try to come to see my time as an expenditure. It's funny, we only get one frame of view. So what seems absurd to me might not be as strange to you. Perception changes too. For instance, I could be asleep, imagining that I'm writing this record under my sheets. Awaken a deaf man trying to remember the beat, with the silence taking hold as the melody retreats.
Say, why Do these answers up just turn the question?
And all the answers I got just turned to questions.
What if I'm wrong? What if they're right? And we're standing still at the speed of light. Is it really worth it? This golden purpose. I'm silver surfing above the surface. I find my way with no direction. My only compass is my reflection. I'll know one day. Gain perspective and all these answers, they'll turn to questions. Da 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 da. It sounds like da 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 da. And we down like da 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 da.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that. You know, I just wanted to make sure I got the music in. So my apologies to the brother Hanif for cutting him off at the end. We had a great conversation, great mind on the brother. I hope he continues to do his thing, and I hope you enjoy his music. You can check him out. Luck One. And that's it for me today on News from the Boo. We will be back next week, Wednesday, 5:45 p.m. to 6 p.m. One love.
Hi, this is John Shuck, host of Religion for Life. Alex McNeil is the executive director for More Like Presbyterians, an LGBTQ advocacy group in the Presbyterian Church USA. Alex is the first openly transgender leader of any organization.